Hello to everyone. May God bless you. Receive a big hug in the Lord. Today, we will be speaking about a topic which concerns us all, which is this phrase, "Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble." We're going to be talking about the day of trouble. That is that state of restlessness or affliction or distress, which causes discomfort in our being, in each person. Only the person who goes through that moment of trouble understands it, because they become very nervous, they start having a lot of questions, a lot of doubts. And why does this moment of trouble come? Perhaps it's that lack of faith, that lack of conviction. And that is what the enemy does. He wants us to doubt this God who lives, this God who is real, this God who wants to get us out of all of these afflictions. And that is why this God we have gives us hope, so that we can continue moving forward. So that in as much as you have that conviction in God, we may be able to get out of those moments of trouble. It states in Psalm 102, verse 2. It states, "Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me. In the day that I call, answer me speedily." Usually, when we're going through those moments of trouble, when we're in that state of restlessness, because of conflict or difficulties, whatever you're going through, many thoughts come to us asking, why this? Why am I becoming restless? Why am I doubting? Why am I anguished? And that is when we begin to cry out to God. When we begin to pray to God and say to Him, "Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble." That is why we must praise Him, worship Him, to know. And I want all of you to know that this God who lives, this God we preach, this God the Bible speaks of, is there by your side. He's near you. He's not far the way people imagine Him. He's right there. He's right next to you, listening to your cries, listening and knowing that you are afflicted, that you're filled with trouble. And that is why it is good to learn to speak with God. It is good to draw yourself near to God. It is good to reflect on God so that we can share with Him, tell Him everything we're going through. Most people, they turn to people to tell them their sadness, their troubles, their problems. But it turns out they forget that we have a good Father, our Creator, God. We must speak to Him. We must share our things with Him. And that is why this phrase comes when it states, "Incline your ear to me." That's what we must know, that God is right there. And He's going to be there. And we must also, as it states here in verse 2 at the end, it states, "In the day that I call, answer me speedily." That means that we must know how to touch God's heart. That when any of us are going through troubles, through difficulties, we must pray to Him and tell Him, "God, help me." Because that calling God means that I believe in Him. that I have faith because I believe God, because He has spoken to me in dreams and visions and prophecy, because I know that God exists, because I know that He's by my side, because I know that He is good, because I know that He is merciful. And whenever I call on Him, He will answer me. He is going to get me out of those troubles. It states in verse number 1, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you." Look at this expression. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you." But who is God going to hear? Who is this cry? Whose cry is it going to reach God? The one who has converted to God, the one who has made that effort to please God, the one who has been telling their flesh and their lust, "It is enough. Do not dominate my body any longer, my thoughts." Because God has entered the heart of that person. Because that believer who has called on the Lord has done so because he believes in God, because he wants to strive to please Him and to truly be a son or daughter of God. And even though he is believing, even though he is following God, he can go through moments of trouble, of difficulty. But there will be just moments, something that will last an instant, minutes, perhaps an hour. But when we remember that we have a God who lives, a God who exists, then who is going to separate us from Him? Who is going to drive us away from Him? That is why it states in Romans 8:35, let us go to the Gospels. And after that, Romans 8:35, it states, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Remember that the enemy always wants to provoke these troubles because he wants you to separate from God. He wants you to be weakened in your faith. He doesn't want you to believe in God. He wants to see you suffer. He wants to see you desperate. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It also states here, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Well, when a believer understands that God lives, that God exists, that God is real, who shall separate us? It states here. Who shall separate us from this gospel, from this great truth, from this great treasure that we found, a God who provides hope to us, who tells us continue moving forward, a God who wants to spoil us and bless us greatly? That is why, my brothers and sisters, we must believe in God. We must trust in God so that He may bless us and get us out of all troubles and all difficulties. It states here in Psalm 22. Let us now go to Psalm 22. Because who shall separate us? If you have allowed yourself to be captivated by God, if you have fallen in love with God, no matter how many troubles and difficulties, financially or spiritually or in your love life or sickness, no one, because God has already captivated us. God has already made us fall in love with Him, because that is one of the great virtues that God has. This God we have who is living and powerful, He is the one who captivates us. He makes us fall in love with Him. And He works so many wonders and miracles around us that whenever we have our eyes open and that willing heart for the things of God, then we understand that He lives and that He exists and that He's real. It states in Psalm 22, verse 11, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." And that is true. When things happen, it's because God allows them. We must understand that. Sometimes we act in an immature way as children and we get worried, but why does a person worry? Because they haven't trusted in God. Because perhaps they are not pleasing God, because perhaps you haven't decided to perfect yourself in the path of God. You haven't decided to apply the gospel. You haven't decided to leave behind the customs of that old man who would entice you to sin, to go against God. And it clearly states here, for there is none to help. The only one, and we need to understand that the only one who can help us in everything is God. God is the one who touches people's hearts. God is the one who works miracles. God is the one who wants to spoil us and bless us as long as you give Him the glory to Him. And that is why, no matter how many tribulations, how many troubles we go through, we are not going to separate from Him. We are not going to depart from Him, because the only one who can help us is Him. Many believers, they always ask for help, but they turn to another human being. Instead of crying out to God, instead of calling on to God, instead of asking God for help directly, they always think, who is going to solve this problem for me? And then we turn to human beings instead of turning to God. And God will guide us. God will show us how to obtain victory and how to get out of all these situations. So that is why, brothers and sisters, it is so important to trust in God. It is so important to believe in God. It is so important to know how to call on the Lord. And when we know this, when we understand and truly trust in God, then let us see what it states in Psalm 31, verse number 7. It states, I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. Of course, because sometimes people say, oh, I got out of this problem, I got out of this trouble, this tribulation, because I have a lot of abilities. Oh, I know how to do this and that. Oh, no one can go against me. But when we have believed in God, when we value the things of God, when we truly believe in this God who is spirit and truth, then we know that everything is all thanks to His mercy. God is the one who extended His powerful hand, His finger, His thoughts to get us out of these troubles, to get us out of the tribulation, to get us out of that problem. Because it clearly states in the middle of this verse 7 of chapter 31, for you have considered my trouble. God knows our trouble. God knows exactly how to help us, because God truly knows us. And it also states at the end of this verse, same verse, you have known my soul in adversities. And God allows these adversities sometimes to see how you act, how you react to it. Who are you going to turn to, men or God? Who are you going to trust in, men or God? Or are we going to be dismayed? That is why it states, you have known my soul in adversities. And when I'm in those adversities, well, the first thing we need to do is turn to God. In the moments of danger, in the moments of financial difficulties, in the moments of sickness. That is why we must get used to the fact that every time we open our eyes, I must think in God and give Him thanks. Oh, it's a new day. That's how a believer should think, a man, a woman of God. The natural man, the man who does not believe God, and God says, oh, that's normal. We open our eyes because we have to wake up. But a man, a woman of God says, thanks to God, today I can breathe. Thanks to God, I can think in you today. Thanks to God, because in every moment of trouble, we learn something and we become teachers. Because just as we are able to get out of that moment of trouble, tomorrow one of our brothers and sisters in Christ or someone that you know, a family member or a friend, might be going through the same thing, and you can give them advice and tell them, I invite you to believe in God, but a God who lives, a God who speaks. I invite you to my church. Look, go to the website of the church. Learn of God. Learn how to please God, how to draw yourself nearer to God, because God is going to get you out of any moment of trouble or tribulation. But then, if we go to Psalm 31, in verse 1, it states, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. But of course, if we trust in God, if we have truly opened our mind and our hearts to truly believe God, to be doers of that word, of that gospel, then it states, let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. And God is righteous, and God likes the truth, and God likes it when we live righteously. So when we trust in God, we are never going to be ashamed. No matter how many tribulations and difficulties you're going through, God will give us the victory. He will strengthen us, because that is what God does with each of us. And that is why it also states in verse 2, bow down your ear to me, deliver me speedily. He goes back to the same thing. Bow down your ear to me. Oh, I trust in the fact that you're going to listen to me, that you're going to deliver me from this moment of trouble, from this difficulty, from this problem. And it also states there, be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. Be my fortress, my rock. Remember, we are part of a building where the foundation is Christ and His gospel. And upon that rock, we build, because I have trusted, I have believed, I have valued His gospel. And that is why He's going to be my fortress to save me, to deliver me from those moments of trouble, but also for God to give me that great blessing, which is to attain eternal life. It depends on us. It depends on each and every one of us. It states in verse 14, but as for me, I trust in you. Oh Lord, I say, you are my God, meaning you are my Savior. You are my rock. You are my shield. You are my strength. But why can I say those things to Him? Because I trust in Him. Deliver me from this moment of trouble or this difficulty. Give me victory because you are great and powerful. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. That is what we must do. Here, God is encouraging us to learn how to pray, to speak to Him. And if you act righteously and you are pleasing God, then God is going to give us victory. God is going to bless us, and God is going to support us. And in this way, we will know that this God is real, and He lives and is near all of us. And He will deliver us from all of these moments of trouble, so that God may not hide His face from the day of our trouble, and for us to know that He's there. And when you get out of that trouble, then you can say, oh, God was there. God found me. And that is when we glorify God, and God is pleased that we give Him the glory to Him, because He is the only one who can solve all of our problems and give us victory. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Thank you, oh Father. Bless us all, O Lord. Extend your powerful hand upon all of us. O Lord, deliver us from all of our moments of difficulty, of trouble. In these difficult moments of this pandemic, help us destroy this pandemic. Let it be you decreasing it as you have been doing so little by little. Help us in any difficulty we may have financially or sickness. Look at how many brothers and sisters are in hospitals, O Lord, who are sick. Heal them, deliver, O Lord. Help us financially, oh Lord. Open doors to those who don't have a job, to those who do have one. Give them contentment. And Lord, help us be wise and intelligent to manage whatever little or much money we receive, to always give you the honor and the glory. To our sister Maria Luisa, continue blessing her and filling her with your presence and supporting her and giving her many years of life. Protect her, oh Lord, from all danger and evil, Lord. All of your churches, all of your pastors and helpers, oh Lord, bless and protect. In the name of Christ, amen, amen. My brothers and sisters, may God bless you, may God protect you, and until next time.